I can pretty much agree with Tammy. Fear is a liar, and so is everything else the devil tells you. I finished up last Sunday my series on what's missing. What we need to have in our life to be effective for God and be used of God. We talked about how we had to be in the Word of God, how we had to be people of prayer, how we needed passion in our life, and how we so desperately needed the Holy Spirit. And I thought I was through with that, but God said no. And while this is the message today is not really part of that series, it does tie into it. Because I'm going to tell you, you can read the Bible until you've got it memorized. You can pray until your knees are calloused. You can seek God and the Holy Spirit the day long. But if you're not careful, one thing will trip you up. One thing will mess you up. One thing will cancel out everything you've done. One thing will short-circuit the power in your life. Now, if you'll remember, I talked to you about a couple of weeks ago. I was out walking, and that big difference in that sidewalk, that's what, at least a foot, foot and a half up there? Actually, it's about an inch. I went and measured it. It tripped me up, and I hit the ground hard. And I'm still somewhat hurting from that fall. But I tell you what, I've gone by, I've looked at it, I rebuked it. But then it dawned on me, it's not the sidewalk's fault. I should have been watching. You need to watch your step. There is something, my friends, that will trip us up. There is something, if you don't control it, in your life will make you powerless. It will destroy your family, destroy your marriage. It will sever your relationship with God. And it is something that we all deal with. It's a battle that we all face. And it's real simple. Sin. Preacher, we don't want to talk about sin. It's old-fashioned. It's antiquated in our modern culture. We don't want to talk about sin. God does. I should have filtered that water. Taste the chlorine in it. Still helps the throat. We might not want to be reminded about sin, but God wants us to be reminded about sin because it severed our relationship with Him and it sent His Son to the cross. So to God, sin's important. It's for us as followers of Christ to understand that there's so many things can trip us up. So many pits we can fall into, so many snares that the devil will grip us in. And the thing about it, oftentimes we can go through our life and fool people into thinking it's not part of our life. Let me cover a couple things. First of all, sin means to miss the mark. In Boy Scouts, we took archery. And they would set these targets up, and I would attempt with a bow and arrow to hit the bullseye. Sometimes I hit the target. I don't think I ever got close to the bullseye. When the Bible talks about sin, it means missing the mark. It means that we have not reached God's standard. God has a standard of expectation that He has. And his expectation is simple. It is Jesus, which is perfection. And I doubt if there's anybody here who would honestly say, well, Pastor, you know, I don't think I have any sin in my life. John says in the scripture we have, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Anybody here ever told a lie? Maybe just a little one? How many lies does it take to be a liar? One. We're all in the same trap. We're all in the same boat. Sin is missing the mark. We all sin. And it is so easy that it's like we think there's nothing to it. It's not a big deal, but it is. Second thing here, sin separates. But your sins have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. I have a heavy heart today. I have a heavy heart today because this week, two young men that I have known that have been in our home will be laid to rest because sin got the best of them. Sin is a tough taskmaster. Don't you ever say it can't happen to me, it can. Sin separates us from God, it destroys families. It separates us from God for eternity. If you want to walk with God, you need to understand there are traps along the way. If you want to be used of God, you need to understand sin will trip you up and sin will destroy. I want to go back into the Old Testament to a story that most of you know, but it's the best story that I can think of that shows and reveals the progress of sin in a life. And how it starts off with a temptation and how it ends up in destruction. It's the story in the Old Testament of a man named Achan. And God used him as an example to us as to why we need to be faithful and avoid sin. Let me kind of set the story and then go into the story for you. God promised a man named Abraham that of you I will build a great nation and I'm going to give you a country to live in. His descendants spent 400 years in slavery in Egypt, becoming a nation. God finally brought them out by the hand of Moses. Now they are at the promised land that God promised them. They're at the River Jordan. They're fixing to enter into this land that God promised them. But right in front of them is this huge walled city, the city of Jericho. It was a defensive fortress. But after God gave Joshua instruction, if you know the story, as the people of Israel marched around the city seven times that day, if you'll remember what happened, the horns trumpeted and the people shouted and the walls did what? Came tumbling down. And they routed that city. God was doing what he promised. But as they continue to move into the land, there's another town called Ai. It's spelled Ai. But a much smaller, much smaller, spies are sent out to, and they investigate, and the spies come back and said, it's nothing. Piece of cake. Just send a couple of thousand and it's done. So Joshua, with the advice of his spies, sent a couple of thousand. His troops were routed. They had to turn tail and run. And when they got back, it broke Joshua's heart. He came before God and said, God, you gave us Jericho. Why did you allow us to get defeated at Ai? God, what happened? Have you ever cried out to God and said, God, what's wrong? God, what happened? God said, Joshua, there's sin in the camp. Because you see, when they defeated Jericho, they were told, God told Joshua, Joshua told all the people, you must not take anything. You must leave everything. You can't take anything with you. But the gold and the silver will be collected for my temple. The gold and the silver will be saved for one day to build my temple. And the Lord told Joshua, someone took that which was mine. And because of that, Israel was defeated. And so Joshua called all Israel together. And they lined up by tribes and then by families. And God went to the tribe, then he went to the clan, and then he went to the family, and God said, he's in this family. And then God said, it's Achan. And this is what I'd like to share with you here from the scriptures, because Achan is about to share his story. He's going to tell you why he did what he did. He's going to tell you how sin worked in his life. And you need to pay attention, because the end of his story is not good. The end of his story ends up with his death and his family's. But you can learn so much if you will just listen to his story, because what he went through, you go through. What he battled, you battle. This is Joshua chapter 7, 20 through 21. So Joshua extends to him and says, tell us, my son. Achan replies, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. Among the plunder, I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins, and a bar that weighed, this is a bar of gold that weighed more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them. I hid them in the ground beneath my tent, with the silver buried deeper than the rest. I want to talk to you again about how sin progresses in your life. It can be like a disease. It can be like an infection. It can be like a cancer. It starts small, almost unannounced, until the destruction is finally seen. I'd like to do something before we go any further. I'd like to ask you to pray with me. I want to pray that God reveal to you that if there's anything in your life that you need to deal with, that he would make it known to you and that you would be faithful. Father God, as we go through the message today, Father, I ask that you speak to each of us, Lord. Speak to us as individuals about our walk with you, Lord. Father, reveal to us attitudes that are sinful. Reveal to us daily maybe habits or disciplines that fail you, God, and we need to deal with them. Reveal those relationships that we need to come back, Father. And we need to confess and forgive these people, Lord. Do it, Father, that our heart might be cleansed and we might have a walk with you. In Christ's name, amen. How sin progresses in our life, first point. The spirit of discontentment. In the passage, Achan defines, as I went through the spoils, I saw. One of the greatest temptations that we will face is the temptation to be discontent with God's provision in our life. You will see what somebody else has and say, why don't I have it? Achan was a descendant of Abraham. He was part of the family of God. He had received a promise that God would bring them into a land that flowed with milk and honey. And they were on the verge of this. They were in the land. But for him, it wasn't enough. The Apostle Paul tells us in his ministry, he said, there were times that I abounded and I had plenty. He said, but there were times that I was abased and I had hardly anything. He said, but I have learned in all those situations to be content. Achan was not content. He saw something that he thought, wow, I could have that. Wow, that could be mine. What he forgot was what he would have to give up to obtain him. We, you and I, will either choose to be content with God's provision or we will start looking around. And one of the biggest issues we face with in our culture, all you've got to do is turn on the television. You don't have to look very far. Or drive down the street, you don't have to look very far. Or listen to a radio station. Or surf the internet. You're going to see plenty of things that you'd like to have if you're not content with what God has given you. So if you find yourself discontent, if you find yourself wanting more, if you find yourself tempted to go deep in debt, to have something and you've convinced yourself it's a need when you actually know it's a want. Discontentment is a sin. It means, God, I want more than what you've given me. I don't think you've been fair. Now, as a parent, most all of us at some point have heard our children or teenagers say, well, that's not fair, haven't we? Don't say it to God. Don't say it to Him. Discontentment is a sin. Number two, a wandering mind. He said, I saw it. Temptation is going to come through our eyes. But if that temptation stays long enough because we're interested, you're going to begin to want it. You're going to begin to desire it. He had a simple mission. His mission was to allow God to use him to bring them into the promised land. At this point, his mission is simple: to go to the gathering point where Joshua has directed them. They've got people coming behind them that'll be collecting the gold and the silver and anything they could use in the temple. That was his mission. That was his purpose. That was his job. But he saw something and he said, I want that. Satan, one day in heaven, saw God being worshiped. And we understand that Satan was the archangel, beautiful. And he thought, I want people to worship me. And he forced people to make a decision between him and God. And that's why he's here with us now. It's like his mind was never disciplined. His mind was never trained to focus where you need to be. The scriptures tell us that we should let this mind be in us, which was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was equal with God, did not assert it, but took on the form of a servant and humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. If you said to me, Pastor, I want to make some changes in my life. Is there one thing I can do that'll begin to make it all happen? I would say, absolutely yes. Change what you think about. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you can't, I will guarantee you, you can't. If you think you can with God's help, you will scare Satan to death because you can. It's like, again, we don't have that disciplined mind. Today, we are in a battle for the mind. Some of us who watch the news frequently or read what's happening in the world, and especially within our country, are somewhat shocked at how rapidly we see changes happening, and most of those changes not for the good. And it's because what people have been thinking about, they're now feeling bold to speak. And our children, our children face so much. You bring them to church on Sunday, and Kevin and Carrie have them upstairs right now, and Kevin and Carrie do a great job. But they cannot compete with what they're being taught the rest of the week if you're not in control of what's going into their minds. They cannot. Our children are being fed the values of the world. They're being fed values that would, I think, almost quite literally, if possible, make our forefathers turn over in their graves. It's destroying so many of them. So many of them. I heard Amy told me this last week. She was following the, or during the WOW conference. She had a chance to visit with our speaker. And I don't know how you got off on the subject, but the speaker made the point out that she would not allow her children to be on any kind of social media. And she said the suicide rate of kids who are on social media is much higher. I'm telling you, you have no idea what your kids are being taught and being fed. They're picking it up in the schools. I don't think the schools are teaching it, but the schools are not arguing against it either. They pick it up on their phones, and they pick it up from their friends, and it is destructive. Parents, we need to talk about it, not today, but we need to figure out what we can do. With our grandchildren, it scares us, because we see what's coming at them. You know, that sidewalk tripped me up because I wasn't paying attention. Do you think that your children who are surfing the internet or looking on Facebook have any idea that what they are looking at might trip them up? They have no idea. Do you understand that if your kids see something on Facebook that somebody else is doing, all of a sudden they begin to think, well, maybe this is something I should consider. Number three, David, a rejection of God's authority in our lives. Achan was told by Joshua, do not take anything. That is God's directive. But Achan says, I took. Achan decided God was wrong. God didn't know what he was talking about. I took it. Now, let me tell you what we tend to do. We justify our sin. Maybe he looked down and he said, I saw a beautiful garment from Babylon. Likely it was purple, that they dyed a lot in purple, but it was beautiful in color and fabric, and he goes, wow. And maybe he thinks, wouldn't my wife look good in that? After all, she deserves it. And he convinced himself, well, you know, I'll get it for her. And there's some gold and silver, and I need to take care of my family. It is my responsibility under God to take care of my family. God will understand. So he said he took it. There is a point when we are tempted, and we all know temptation. There is a point when we are tempted that we decide, am I going to do what I want to do, or am I going to do what God would want me to do? Our church secretary in Alabama was going through a real difficult financial time. I'm certain that some of you have been where she was. She said she was in the drive-through at the bank. She was going to have to make a deposit. It wouldn't cover all the bills she was trying to pay, but at least it'd get some start on it. She said she pulled up to the drive-thru, and that little plastic thing you put, I'm sure that there's a name, probably called it a shuttle. That little plastic shuttle was there that you put the stuff in and shoot it back. Everybody, you know what I'm talking about? She said when she opened it up, there was an envelope in it with $100 bills. And she said she just looked at it. She thought, oh my, this would help me so much. And she said, who would know? And she said she looked in her rearview mirror, and behind her was a police car coming up through too. You see, she faced a temptation, and we all face it. But the police car reminded her there is a right and there is a wrong. So she put it back in the tube, buzzed the teller there that was in charge and said, someone has left their money here. Here's what Achan did. Achan knew what was right. It was clear what was right. Everybody else had gone past it. But he decided, I know more than God does. He took the gold and silver. And why this is imperative for you to understand, why were they not supposed to take the gold and silver? It was God's to be used for his temple. How was that any different than years later walking into the temple and taking something gold and silver? It was God's. Do we ever steal from God? Absolutely we do. We're told in the book of Malachi that when we don't tithe, we steal from God. And I have been told, well, Pastor, I can't afford to tithe. What they actually are saying is, Pastor, I can't afford to tithe and maintain my preferred lifestyle. But that's not the big thing. We belong to God. We are His. Paul said we are the temple of God, and we, when we don't obey Him, we're taking from Him the ownership He has in us. Paul says, you were bought with a price. You do not belong to yourselves any longer. God's authority must be maintained in the life of the believer. When we reject God's authority, we take control of our lives. And whenever I've taken control, I've made a royal mess of it. I don't care where it's at. We need to understand that our God knows more than we do. And we need to listen to Him and to obey Him. Just say yes or no, whichever He's asking us. But we need to allow Him to rule our lives instead of us ruling our lives. Israel would have a lot more battles to face before they conquered all of Canaan. This had to be dealt with. They could not have all the soldiers going out doing their own thing. You see, God had a plan. And when we reject God's authority, we reject His plan. How many people here either played basketball or football? Can I see your hands? You play basketball or football? All right. Good. How many people here watch it? Do you watch? In football and basketball, there's a coach. The coach will have a plan. He'll send that plan into the quarterback. The quarterback in football will tell him, this is what we're going to do. And this play says, and the players know, when this play is called, I have a responsibility. I'm going to block here, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to fake here, or I'm going there. In basketball, the coach calls them over, and maybe he tells them who the ball is going to be thrown into. Someone sitting a pick, and they're going. Can you imagine a football team without anybody in control? Who's going to block? Who's going to run? Who's going to throw? We don't know. God has control. Allow Him to exercise it in your life. He knows where you're going. Number four. Number four is a realization of separation. I hid. When he took those items and he deliberately disobeyed God, something happened within him. The same thing that happened in Adam and Eve when they ate of that forbidden fruit. And you remember, they went and hid from God. As he's doing this, the conscience that God put inside of him, inside of you and me, convicted him it was wrong. That is why you will almost always find sin in the dark where nobody will see. He was convicted and he's thinking, what do I do now? I've got to hide it. When we commit sin against God, God will turn his face from us. That mind that was somewhat controlled by our conscience will run free to every unclean thought imaginable. He had gold, yes. He had silver, yes. He had a nice garment, but he did not have peace any longer. He was afraid. He had to hurry back to his tent without anybody looking. He had to dig a hole. And apparently it was a pretty deep hole because he put the silver down deeper. And he had to cover it back up. And don't you think every time somebody walked by, he's thinking, I hope they don't know. I hope they don't look. I hope they don't dig or suspect me. When we walk away from God, we walk away from his presence. We walk away from his peace and from his guidance. Fear now gripped him. What do I do? I'll hide it, but then do I escape? What do I do? You see, he was alone now. When sin enters our life, we feel like we're alone. And when we think about sin, we think about, well, I don't commit the big sins. I'm not stealing. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not murdering anybody. And you convince yourself that God's okay with all the other times that you disobey him. But I think deep within your heart, you know he's not. As a parent, your teenager could steal your car. Or your teenager could sneak in your bedroom and find your wallet and take $20 out of it. You can afford $20, but when you find out, it breaks your heart that your child would do that to you. After all you've done for them, they steal money from you. Doesn't have to be a big thing with God. It's all about the attitude. Remember that mind? Achan is at a point as he's confessed. Now I'll tell you what's fixing to happen to him. He's fixing to be stoned. That was how God had instituted that those who disobeyed him would be punished and disciplined and executed. He's about to be punished. You and I, fortunately, are not where he is. They lived under law. We live under grace. Now, God still hides his face from us when we sin. God still holds back his power from us when we sin. How far we can go with sin, how deep we can go in sin before God separates himself from us, I don't know. But I don't want to push it either. How close can you get to that rattlesnake without him biting you? I say about a mile. I don't want to chance it, do you? This is what we need to understand. Number five, a repentant confession. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When it dawns on us, when God reveals to us, when we see that we have been sinful, when we've been rebellious, when we've demanded our way, God allows us to come to him and confess it, and he will cleanse us. Achan was punished for his sin. His was a sin of rebellion, his way. In our culture today, we will face many temptations, and because we see everybody else doing it, we will convince ourselves it's okay. I'll do it my way. God offers us forgiveness. God offers us cleansing. But there's two things that we must do. We must repent and we must confess. Sometimes what happens, we have been so long in this sin that we feel like it's not sin at all. After all, it's been part of my life for decades. But if the Holy Spirit brings it to mind, we need to deal with it. First, we have to repent. The Old Testament picture of repentance was falling before God in sackcloth and ashes on your knees and lamenting. We don't have to have sackcloth and ashes, but we need to have a penitent heart toward God. We need to understand that sin calls God his son. And we need to be sorry for the sin in our life. But what we talk about to repent, it's not so much coming to an altar with tears and saying, God, forgive me. Oh, that can be part of it. Because I've known too many people come to an altar and say, God, forgive me, and go back out and keep doing it. That's not repentance. To repent means simply this, to turn around. To repent means I'm going in this direction. I'm walking my way. This is my plan. Now, if I repent, I turn around. And I say, now I want to walk God's way. Now I want to do God's thing. Now I want God's purpose in my life. That is to repent, to turn it around. Now it will happen because our hearts are grieved. That will bring tears to some and remorse to some. But when God deals with our heart, he wants us to confess it. To confess means just what it sounds like. We tell him about it. We say, God, I've been holding unforgiveness in my heart toward this person who hurt me. Forgive me. I'm going to go and be reconciled to them. God, forgive me. I've been complaining about my lot in life because I don't think you've been fair to me. God, forgive me. You are so good to me. God, on the job, I've not been an honest employee. Forgive me, Lord. I'm going to become their best employee now. I don't know what it is. But I know that God is faithful. I memorized 1 John 1, 9 decades ago. I have used it many times in my life. How I say it is this: if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me and cleanse my heart from every evil thing. And whenever the enemy comes back and says, "Remember what you did?" I say, "Yes. But I confessed it before God. And He promised if I confessed it that He would forgive it and that He would cleanse me. And I know it's right." I want God to use you mightily. I want God to make a mighty difference in your life. I want to see great things happen through you. But I know sin can and will trip you up. And you won't know it until you're down. When I tripped on the sidewalk a couple of weeks ago, I didn't know what happened. I just saw the concrete jumping up at me. And it assaulted me. And I rolled over in the grass and said, "What has happened?" What had happened is I wasn't paying attention. And I messed up. Now, I don't know what's going on in your life, but again, I do know this. We all sin. We have a Savior, and we need to confess it. Would you stand with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to pray for you. Now, before I pray for you, I want to ask each of you to pray a simple prayer. God, shine the light of your love and holiness in me and reveal to me anything that displeases you and causes you grief. Lord, reveal that to me, that I might confess it and that I might be cleansed. Father God, we have experienced your grace and mercy, but we long for something else, Lord. We long for a closer relationship with you, and we know that's only going to come through confession and cleansing. So, Father, we call out and we bring before you our sin. Tell them what it is. Name it by name. If you are lusting, tell him. If you're stealing, tell him. Bad attitude, tell him. God has promised He will forgive and that He will cleanse. That what the Bible tells us, you might be washed whiter than snow. Father, I pray that sometimes when I become indifferent, that you would forgive me, Lord. I pray that you would forgive me, Father, when I allow my schedule to keep me from doing what you would have me do, Lord. Forgive me. And whenever I confess before God, I always conclude that prayer with a thank you. Father, thank you for this promise that you would forgive. And thank you, Father, that you have forgiven me. Thank you, Father, that I've been cleansed of the sin within my life. Thank you that I have been restored. And now, Father, fill me with thy Holy Spirit that I might be faithful in walking with you and making choices that please you. Father, have your way in our midst, in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.